It's time for Slam.
We back. Welcome to the first episode of the season two of the Highline Podcast on Conet Sports Feed. By the way, a very deflated voice. Sorry about that. I'm just coming back from one of the craziest nights of my life.
It's Plantio.
Very deflated but excited voice. It's me, the voice of reason, voice of truth, man who speaks the truth, only the truth, and nothing but the truth. It's Faye back again for another episode. And with me, I have everyone's favorite Rantsman.
Rantsman? Is that my name now?
Yeah, that's what they call you.
Who?
On the podcast feed.
Rantsman.
Yeah, because you always be ranting.
I'm not always ranting.
You do. Spock Bias United, this. Everything.
Sorry, it's just my passion. Nobody can beat me. That's the problem.
Yeah, but back in the booth, it's fun to thank you for coming back for another episode.
We're back, baby. New season, new hopes. Actually, less hopes, basically.
New season, new hopes, new hair, new start.
New start.
New opportunities.
Speaking of new opportunities, he's actually injured.
5 weeks.
You know he's actually taking a... if you don't understand, it's Pogba. Pogba got injured with his meniscus. Like, I don't even know what's wrong with that guy, man. I think he's just injury prone and his career is just going down the hill now at this point.
Yeah, let's start with the transfer window. Let's start with the head scratchers of the window. Barcelona. I don't even like... One of my friends is a Barcelona fan. He says the rest of the world has money, but Barcelona then get doings. Because doings. Because what did we do at this transfer window? I don't even understand it, bro. First of all, started with them being broke, renting out Camp Nou.
For weddings, bro.
For weddings and...
Bro. You can go play on Camp Nou as well, too.
And all of a sudden, they're signing Rafinha, Lewandowski, Koundé.
Pablo Torre,
Christensen, and then they've already got Frank Kessie. Like, I don't even understand. Like, honestly, I can't put it into words, and I'm not going to act like I'm an expert on the financial situation of Barcelona. But from the little I had read, this should not be possible.
It's impossible. It's more than possible. I think people think, like, it's just a case of... It's just... Let's be honest, like, it's just Barcelona just selling their future for money now. Like, let me, I've read this thing too much, and because of one guy there, I've read it too much to understand what it is. So basically, Barcelona are selling their future rights to people who want to buy them. So, like, now there's a company called Sixth Street that is sold 25% of their future TV rights for 25 years for around 500 million. So that, but like, let's say Barcelona now is basically a loan. Let's think about it that way. So they'll basically collect 500 million this year, and they're going to every year. So let's say Barcelona gets 160 million every, like 160 million every year. They're going to literally give that team 25 over 100 times 160. That's like 40 million a year. They're giving that company 40 million a year for the next 25 years. And also, they also sold, I think, around another 15% of their Barca studios to another company for 100 million, which was like a few days ago. So all this is just that they're getting money, balancing their books. They'll pay small debt up, but they're also buying players.
And that's what doesn't make sense to me, because the imminent... I believe they're still in the market for more players right now.
Bernardo Silva, apparently.
Without being able to register some of the ones that they have, which is leading to them begging players to take pay cuts and promising to pay them back. And when the time
This time it's not even pay cuts anymore. It's like forgo the wages forever.
They just asked Piqué and Sergio Busquets to reduce their salary so they can register new signings. They're owing Frankie de Jong a ridiculous amount of money. In as much as they brought in a boatload of players, they still look like a shambles.
Not really. On the pitch, they look good.
Oh, no, on the pitch. I'm talking. It's never been on the pitch with Barcelona. Yeah. Only the past 2 years. They're not well thought out. They're just taking unreasonable risks as it stands. Because let's say Frankie doesn't leave, how the hell do you end up buying Lewandowski and Rafinha and not registering them? How's that gonna work?
At this point, I have realized that I cannot rule out Barcelona from doing what they want to do. I cannot rule it out because from what I can see from them, it's just a case of they always figure it out, but the long-term consequences, like I said, all them selling their future rights is really, it's really, really striking. But according to them, they said the best way to get back up is to get success, is to assure success, because their fear is that they will eventually, like, if they don't get the success and get back up, they're never going to be able to, like, get back up to Real Madrid. Like, Real Madrid will keep coasting and coasting and coasting.
Even at that, right now, I still think Real Madrid has a better team than Barcelona.
Right now?
Yes.
In terms of squad depth?
In terms of everything, I think Real Madrid is a better team, better coach team, has better players than Barcelona.
Left to me, the players Barcelona are buying.
Bro, we always, this thing about football fans, we always let shiny new toys distract us from. Real Madrid literally just added Tchouaméni to a midfield that consists of Camavinga, Modric, Cruz, Casemiro, and Federico Valverde.
Yeah. I agree.
Benzema, I still expect another stellar season from him. Vinicius is only going to get better. Eden Hazard seems like
he's coming,
he has his mindset on
him. He's coming, bro.
Crazy season. They added Rudiger, top five Premier League centre back last season. Still have Militao, still have David Alaba, still have Danny Carvajal, still have, who's the left back? Ferran Mendy, and Courtois is finally staking his claim for the best goalkeeper in the world. So I don't see how they do not have a better team than Barcelona as it stands right now, even with all the additions and even with the potential addition of a Cucurella, like I was saying today, or probably
Bernardo Silva. Cucurella is a troll account, bro.
Bernardo Silva as well.
Like, are you sure? Like, I'm not saying Real Madrid.
Yes,
I'm saying that they're closing, that, like, they've closed down the gap.
Closed the gap from what to what?
It was 10 points last season.
But then Madrid is still better. And they're still going to get better. Well, and they're in a better financial position than Barcelona.
Let's never talk about. But Real Madrid are in the best financial situation they have ever been in their life.
Exactly.
And I even forgot to mention, Barcelona just took out a loan from Goldman Sachs to start rebuilding their stadium as well, too.
And Madrid stadium will be done by 2023, I believe.
Yeah. So, in a long-term view, Madrid...
Short-term, long-term, Madrid is better than Barcelona, in my opinion.
So,
because when you think of it, the buying players like Azpilicueta...
That Azpilicueta and Marcos Alonso thing, I don't get it at all. And let's be honest, they spent 50 million on Lewandowski for a 34-year-old.
I'm just saying, even look at the midfield, even with the addition of Bernardo Silva, that means they lose Frankie de Jong. And that means you have to rely on, a midfield of Kessié, Bernardo, and possibly Pedri.
Or Gavi.
I don't think that's better than Real Madrid's midfield.
And Busquets as well, too. Obviously, it's not better than Real Madrid's midfield, but I think, like, Barcelona from last season, towards the end of last season, they looked good.
They did. Real Madrid looked better.
They looked good. In fact, let's be honest. They even destroyed Madrid on that day.
It happens.
They destroyed, like, that. They absolutely battered Madrid. I'm not saying they will win. Like, I feel like the league will be now much more closer than last season.
I still think Real Madrid got it, though.
Running away with it?
I still think the clear favorites as it stands right now.
I think it's going to be a close race this year. Because the level, and I also think, like, you know, that Champions League, like, Barcelona, my only question is, how good is Xabi as a manager? How good is Xabi as a manager? Because he's
got Champions League is off the table. They can't win the Champions League. I don't see it happening.
You don't see it happening?
No. Too many good teams for Barcelona. Too many Champions League. Too many. Starting with Real Madrid.
I mean, I love the villain story from Madrid.
Dembele, I respect Dembele. I respect Dembele. He's not better than Mbappe, but I respect Dembele.
Uh-huh.
He's a pure hooper in basketball terms.
Yeah.
I like the addition of Rafinha. I'm not going to be salty about it.
Ansu Fati is back.
Ansu is back. I need to see more from him. He's still relying on his hype from his youth days. Yeah. Let's be honest. Since he came into the senior scene, hasn't done much.
But he's been injured. He's been injured.
But even the games I've seen, he hasn't impressed me much.
Yeah, that's okay, but he's been injured. Like, we need... Like, also...
There's nothing wrong with me saying he has to show that he's worth it.
No. I'm not saying he has... I'm just saying that he hasn't had the opportunity.
Because he hasn't proven anything yet.
Okay.
Gavi, I don't know. I just can't bring myself to fully rate him. Pedri, I have no issues with. I think he's best young midfielder in the world.
Francesi is a pooper.
Francesi knows how to play ball. They've made some solid additions, but in general, I still think Madrid is better. But still with Barcelona, I just want to say thank you for everything you've done
to Chelsea
this transfer window, because this was extremely hilarious. It went from
Rafinha.
They were posting clips about Arsenal. And when we get to Arsenal, I'll talk about Edu. But they were posting clips about how, thank Arsenal fans for making all those clips for us just for Rafinha to end up at Barcelona. They fully thought they were going to get Lewandowski. They said Koundé was theirs.
Bro, that Koundé and Rafinha owned, I can't even lie to you. That's what they call it. You see why I say that? People think that if Barcelona is still attractive at their worst, you got to respect them. Like, they have the pool. They still have that pool, no matter what. If the fact that these players are waiting, when does a man never wait for anything,
I don't think that. They still have the pool.
Mm-hmm.
But it's different if it's City or Liverpool that comes for certain number of those players.
Yeah.
I think Lewandowski might... Rafinha, I could see him potentially going to Liverpool, even though... But I get where you're
so
coming
when you
from.
Say that, when you say that, like, when everything falls apart, you believe when everything falls apart for Barcelona.
I get where you're coming from in terms of Rafinha chose Barcelona because it's his dream to play for Barcelona.
Yeah.
Koundé, I don't know. I saw something about Tuchel having doubts, so they backed out.
That's a lie. He's cover face, bro.
It was Sevilla that said it.
Munchie tweeted that they already agreed to sell.
Yeah, and then they had doubts, and then they backed out. And by the time they came back in, his heart was already set on Barcelona.
Can we actually talk about, if we're talking about Chelsea, can we actually talk about Todd Boehly?
Bro, I said it. This man, all he does is hijack, bro. He goes on Twitter, search City Extra,
United Reports. Managing Barca,
everything,
bro, anything, even what you call it, Arsenal.
Do you know how many times bro wanted to hijack Jesus?
I'm just confused.
I would be surprised if they say he wanted to hijack Zinchenko as well.
No, there was another one that, apart from Jesus, there was another one he wanted to hijack. Rafinha,
Richarlison.
Thank you, Richarlison.
Now he's about to hijack Frankie. Okay. Took over for Cucurella talks, even though we're gonna get into the madness that happened today. I mean, it's not looking good, bruv. It's not looking good for
and
Chelsea.
You know what's so funny? People actually think, like, I was talking to my friend Bull today. He was like, Chelsea, like, I think even from the end of last season, when we were talking about, they give us many, many doubts.
Yeah.
They give me many, many doubts. Yes, they signed Kalidou Koulibaly. They signed Raheem Sterling, but...
I love the Sterling sign.
You know, someone said
so
this. Sterling is the first person to start this moving to... it was the first... Was he before Jesus?
No, he just left City first.
Yeah. But, like, the top six selling to each other and everything. We'll go to City first because I'm really, really confused on that Sterling signing. But Sterling going to Chelsea.
I love the Sterling pickup.
It's a good signing.
But then again, I'm not really convinced on Chelsea. Their preseason games did not show me anything. the game against Arsenal, they were utterly dominated from start to finish.
Bizarrely destroyed.
If Trevor Chalobah is going to be the third starting centre-back, that's a problem.
Koulibaly, we don't know what
I
to
don't
expect.
Really, yes. Yes.
We do not know yes. what to expect.
Koulibaly can come in and be better than Rudiger.
Exactly.
And he can come in and be the complete opposite of what you expect. So I'm not going to... It's a great signing on the face value. But like we know football is not played on paper. Mm-hmm. The Sterling addition, 1,000% I love. That's 10 to 15 goals on the wing that they didn't have last season. They still need a midfield addition.
That is creative.
They need a midfield addition. They need a striker desperately. And there's talks of them being linked with Aubameyang.
Oh, is that a new one today now?
Yeah, but Fabrizio just tweeted it like
that's
an hour ago.
Crazy because I have not opened my phone in 2 hours. And
yeah.
Nah,
they
and
said
no,
they've
no.
started talks with the Aubameyang himself. Not Barcelona, but Aubameyang himself. And I just want to see how it works because I watched Aubameyang his last few months with Arsenal. By the way, the All or Nothing documentary comes out in a couple
tomorrow.
Of hours.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't see how Aubameyang solves Chelsea's problems. Sterling is also their only winger.
But who is their creative player?
That Mason Mount, potentially. I don't know. They're focusing on the wrong things. I get that, and I saw a Chelsea fan actually put a lineup of
Cucurella,
Chilwell left wing, Rhys James right wing back, Koulibaly, Trevor Chalobah. Basically, it was all defenders and midfielders and no strikers because that's what Chelsea is doing. Like,
No. Like I said, the transfer.
I don't get spending $50 million on Cucurella though.
Like,
I just feel like he's a hijack. It's like another Pep pump fake.
City extra, bro.
Pep pump fake, like United fans would call it. Like when he pump fake them on Fred, pump fake them on Alexis. So it's like he pump fake them on Cucurella. Because now instead of spending $50 million on possibly Benjamin Sesko.
Yeah,
Cucurella. When you have Chilwell, like,
I don't get it.
I get it's a depth signing if you've completed more pressing areas. You still need a third centre back. Looks like Wesley Fofana is trying to force a move away from Leicester.
Well, that's another 80 million.
And let me tell you, Chelsea fans, I have bad news for you. You can go ask Man U fans if you think. See, from Cucurella can delete every picture on his Instagram from now till next year. Leicester will still demand that 80 million.
Because I feel like people don't understand that Chelsea are really beating themselves. The average they spent on a new player is around 40 million.
No, Koulibaly and Sterling are really good signings.
Yeah.
No doubt about that.
Yeah.
But and Kenny Chukwuemeka, respect.
But
respect how they went on the low for that.
He's not going to get game time and he's going to go
out. Yeah, but he's one for the future. Also snapped up Omari Hutchinson from Arsenal. Every Arsenal fan knows that video from time ago. I'm just so perplexed as to why he decided to leave. But good business from Chelsea. But then again, they've not addressed the issues they faced last season, which is a striker. They've addressed Sterling.
Who is in the striking market, bro?
Sesko.
You're sold on Sesko?
They should have got Scamacca.
That's even Western month. Oh, Scamacca.
They should have got Scamacca.
Like United and Chelsea should have run after for 36 million.
They should have got Scamacca.
And people think we're joking. Scamacca, Gianluca Scamacca, is gonna bang. And this is not a hot take. This is me standing on my
own. Well, he has a West Ham striker. He either scored 15 goals or zero goals. That's how it is. There's no middle ground. You're either is Zaza or you're an Antonio.
Bro, Ale. Lucas Sabatier, hello. Which, by the way, healing.
Rest in peace, sir.
Get well soon. Me too. I was looking for the words.
That was a mistake.
But yeah, like Chelsea, like signing Cucurella. They said he plays left wing back, but
so
yeah,
he can play LCB.
LCB, and I'm just like, but that's not his best position. You guys are literally force faking. Like there is no strategic planning.
You can see it. You can see. The difference, and not to gas us up, but you can see the difference between Arsenal's window and Chelsea's window.
So funny, I said the exact same thing. I said the exact same thing about Arsenal, that, like, Arsenal, you know what they're doing. you know every situation and you know how they're addressing the situation. Yes, we'll get into Arsenal soon, but like Chelsea, it feels like today Richarlison, today, like there is no strategic planning in what they want to do. And to me, it's like, okay, yeah, they might get away with it because these are good players. Let's be honest. These are good players.
Sterling. I mean, nobody's going to be mad signing those two
Thomas
players.
Tuchel knows what he's doing. And I think Chelsea fans are so excited by every signing. And in my head, I'm just like, this is not doing anything.
Bully made a mistake taking the reins too quick on a sport that he knew nothing about.
Bro, I actually think that guy has a burner account. That United extra. Because yeah, like it's literally doing, it's literally showing like
Frankie though, if they pulled that off, yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
You know what's funny? Two weeks ago I said it like, you know when I call it football tingles, but there are times where you just know that, yeah, this might end up with Chelsea. Because like that's Boehly's tactic.
That's what happened when Ajax rejected our second bid for Lissandra. I was like, yeah, they're clearly waiting for my U.
Like, literally, like, if we're going to go into Frankie de Jong, should we go into that?
Yeah, sure.
My own Frankie de Jong proposition is, yeah, first of all, Barcelona, you need like
you need manners.
You need manners, like a club for everyone or whatever their standard is and everything. Like, in fact, let me be honest, there's no club that really is. You can never place a club.
Nothing. There's no class about
there's
this.
There's no class about any football club. Let's be honest about that. But like the Frankie de Jong thing for me is like, you know, he's owed money. Okay, let me explain it this way. He deferred his wages twice. From his original price to 6 million, and he now got a deferral, a wage deferral to 3 million. Now he's currently earning 3 million, but Barcelona want to sell him because wage deferral means that you actually have to, you still have to pay him, but it just means that your wages will be more in the future. Wage deferral now means that over the next few years, Barcelona owe him around 22 million a year, and now because of the new signings and everything, they don't want to do that. Okay, now Frankie, they said, okay, Frankie, you have to leave. We can't keep you here. Okay, now Frankie's like, you owe me some wages, right? The deferred wages, like, because my own understanding is that he doesn't want to leave. Like, he's in Barcelona. Like,
also, bro, think he's also about the team that came in for him. I don't think he's interested at all in playing for Man United.
I'm gonna come to that. Frankie de Jong is in Barcelona. He just got engaged to his girlfriend.
By the way, he wasn't smiling in that picture because he was linked to Man United. Start bro, by it.
The agendas have started. But you know me.
The great Shannon Sharp, Hall of Fame wide receiver, always says to players, no matter how much you love a club, no matter how much you want to win, no matter how much you want to succeed,
mm-hmm.
never leave any money on the table. Let them figure it out.
Yep.
Let the front office figure it out.
Yeah, I like that. That's exactly what and that is my own understanding from what Frank is doing. It's like, okay, the wages now, it's not about the wages. It's like the wages that have been deferred.
He has already left money on the table. That's the problem.
Yeah, so if you're telling me to leave, Barcelona are like, okay, we'll pay you 3 million out of a possible like 20 million. Am I mad?
None of you will take that.
Bro, like everyone is like, you should come and everything. Like all these Barcelona fans saying that he's ruining our club. You are mad. All of you, they tell you. It's so funny. Then they said, I saw one report, they were like, Barcelona was like, Xavi was like, he's part of my plans, but you just have to work hard and take it. You have to work hard and take a 50% wage cut. Imagine my boss.
Imagine someone told Xavi that. Imagine Pep told Xavi that while he was playing, about to enter the peak of his playing days.
And
I'm not saying Frankie is a greater player as Xavi, but just imagine how insulted Xavi, despite the fact that he had taken two wage deferrals to give the team as much help as they possibly can get, and now they're making him look like a bad person, saying he's not working hard and he needs to take a pay cut to remain in his plans. What type of rubbish is that, bro? It makes sense.
It's very, and they said like FIFPro and all the other agencies, like the labor unions, are really watching this because like
he should be able to bring a claim against them. He should.
But now Barcelona are asking him to leave. but he doesn't want to leave any money on the table.
I wouldn't leave until you pay me my money.
So, like, it's in control of his plans, and he's just got a mansion there, $3 million mansion in Barcelona, all of a sudden, and you're in a dream club, you're all of that. So I get why.
Sorry to speak, but Marcusi Benny, I will wait there until they pay me my money. I swear.
Bro, nah. But yeah, like, I would do the same too. Like, you can't disrespect me, do all of this. I mean, and it's not that I did not ask you for this contract. Now you're telling me because of that, and I've done my best. You know what I'm saying?
I really hope this serves as a lesson to all. No matter how much you claim to love a football club, even if it's Saka I'm talking to, if Arsenal is ever in desperate need of help, and they ask you to take a pay cut because you love, do not take a pay cut, bro. Don't do it.
There's a way we can say wage deferral, but the wage cut is that, like, Ousmane Dembele now, he got a 60%, what was it, 40% wage cut on his new contract that he just resigned. So basically, he's earning less money now. They want Frankie to do that.
I mean, he agreed to do that, but Frankie postponed his money, think in good faith, and this is what they're trying. Doesn't make sense.
So, like, and I think when it comes to, like, United being linked to Frankie de Jong, I ask myself, like, most people, most clubs, they know before they make a bid for a player that they have a little bit of assurance there. That is my own question. Like, I don't think... No. Let's be honest.
There's no bid for Rafinha twice.
Huh?
There's no bid for Rafinha
But twice. There was a bit of interest.
From Rafinha's end?
Yes.
Nope.
But Barcelona had not made a bid that time.
Did you watch Edu's interview?
What did he say?
Edu said he called Deco, and Deco was like, I'll be straight up with you. We have a good relationship.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to play for Barcelona. This was after we had bid.
Yeah.
And Edu was like, okay, no problem. We know what the situation at Barcelona is right now. In case of anything, just keep me in the loop.
But, like, most times, that is Rafinha, but most times there has always been a situation of discussions with the player. I personally don't think the United guys are very dumb, but they...
But consistently, reports have said Frankie is not interested in playing for United.
But there are also reports that have consistently said that the problem has been the wage deferrals, that he's waiting. Because there's no way a player can come out and say that he's interested in moving, because that way they'll be like, go away, we don't need you anymore. And they're also...
Said he doesn't want to...
No, he doesn't want... He's not really open to leaving. But how will I say it now?
I strongly feel like a move to Chelsea would, like, brighten his eyes more than a move to United.
Why so?
Because Chelsea is in a more promising, or appears to be in a more promising state right now.
Because I was like, wait.
Simply because they won the Champions League 2 years ago. And last year.
They're in the Champions League.
Tuchel, you know, is one of the attractive managers in Europe as of right now.
Yeah.
So... You know, and then life in London and all that.
Yeah.
You have to consider the personal side of things. So I think Chelsea would be more appealing to him than Man United. I mean, let's keep it real. Every team watched Man United last week. Everybody sees what's happening with Ronaldo. Everybody sees what's going on with the team. It's not looking good, bro.
Why so? No, we're going to, like, let's finish with Frankie de Jong. Frankie de Jong going to Chelsea. I've already called it like 2 weeks ago. I can bring out the receipts on my group chat. I said it, like, there's a possibility. But my friend told me that...
I think he's a potential upgrade on Jorginho.
First of all, people misprofile Frankie de Jong, you know. They don't know how to use him. That is the problem of literally not understanding how the strengths and weaknesses of Frankie de Jong. And that is what I fear is going to happen in Chelsea. Because they misprofiled Lukaku.
They might think he's a ball-winning, deep-lying...
deep-lying playmaker. But that's not his role. That's not his role. And I
don't see how him and Jorginho can cohabit in the same team.
I don't even see... Like, I can see him and Kovacic cohabiting. Kante, not really. Well, yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah,
no, I can see him and Kante.
I can see him and Kante.
I can see a midfield of Frankie, Kante and Kovacic.
How's that going to work? That's a four... That's literally a 4-3-3.
4-3-3, yeah.
But you know, Thomas Tuchel...
3 at the back,
Thomas
yeah.
Tuchel is not ready to move. He can't even move from that 3 at the back if Thiago Silva... By the way, Thiago Silva will start declining too. That's what I keep questioning Chelsea.
It's not looking...
That's what I'm saying. Thiago Silva will start declining. Like, forget all these things. Age will catch up to you.
It's not looking good.
So, like, Frankie de Jong going to Chelsea... I'm resigned to it as well, but I have a little hope because I just think like maybe Eric Ten Hag should have been on the phone.
Aubameyang as well, bro.
You don't feel that one.
I don't.
But you know, there are many Chelsea fans excited. I'm just like, but this is not like I said, when a player signs for a team, you know what makes sense. Sterling, we understood it makes sense. Koulibaly to a good extent, we knew what it made sense.
Straight away.
But Cucurella, I'm just like, what? Chilwell is there. And as far as I'm concerned, Marcos Alonso still does the job in the back three.
This is why you need director of football. You need to be planned out. You need to have your Tiki and your Pep to identify whatever weaknesses you have in your squad,
mm-hmm.
and know that but 5 months before summer, yeah. I'm going to start contacting these players.
You can't really blame Chelsea, like the whole debacle.
Yes, I get that, but then letting Mourinho go, you know, people who have experience in these situations for a novice, because let's be honest, Todd Bowley is a novice.
He's more than a novice, bro. He has no idea what he's
exactly.
doing. I mean, let's even go back to the Lukaku deal. Did you hear about
bro wanted a trade?
He wanted a trade, bro. He was saying, give me Denzel Dumfries and Lautaro in exchange for Lukaku.
But they said they're considering Walker Peters. My problem with their window
is... Why are you bringing Walker Peters?
They're too? Not assessing pressing areas.
Why is Walker Peters in the discussion? He doesn't address the centre-back issue.
It's like you don't have a house, but you're buying a Gucci belt. No. Get your priorities in order.
They don't know what their priorities are. They generally don't know what their
priorities are. You can hire Misha. I will help you. Tell you what you're lacking in your squad.
Are you sure?
Yeah, anything you for wanna... money. I'll shank you small, sir. I'll give you some small.
I hate Chelsea, so I don't even... I'm praying on their downfall. By the way, if I pray on your downfall, trust me, you will fall. You will fall.
Oh, but then take a flight. I'll be a train and hop onto North London, the red side.
Let's go Spurs first.
Spurs, okay, the white side. Here's the thing.
It's scary.
Under any other manager,
I would have
this probably. Window would have been mid. Mid. But under Conte, it's literally a 10 out of 10 window.
I don't even think of anything anymore. Like, even the fact that they signed Clement Longley, I was just like...
Even, bro, when they signed Perisic, I was like, bro, if Chelsea had signed Perisic, I would have laughed. But Perisic as a wing-back under Antonio Conte...
You know, even they said Lucas Moura wants to be wing-back, I'm just like, yeah, that works too.
Could it be dangerous.
Sense. It makes sense too.
And then you have the ball-winning prowess and just Bissouma. The midfield of Bissouma alongside Bissouma is also more technically secure than Højbjerg, so you could play him alongside Bentancur. You have Richarlison, suitable striking option off the bench.
Across the front three.
And then you still have that kid, Kulusevski. You got Longley. I don't really rate that signing.
Well, guess what? That's a Conte signing, bro.
Don't care for it. Jet Spence, Conte doesn't really care for it, but he says it's a club signing, so... But
who else did he sign again?
Fraser Foster.
But mine is just a Richarlison thing. I was just like, yeah, finally someone who can at least the quality won't drop. Like before it was, what's this guy from Benfica that they loaned from under Mourinho? I've forgotten his name.
Carlos Vinicius.
You could see the drop. Spurs scare me in as much that, you know what? This is me. Spurs are in the title race.
I don't see it.
If you follow Co Network, I've been running wild, and I will be the one. But
I don't buy it. They're not going to finish 15 points behind. They're going to finish 10 points behind.
Are you sure?
The top two. Okay, we're going to get into them, but sleep on Liverpool at your own peril.
Who is sleeping on Liverpool? Actually, wait. We're going to come to Liverpool first, but I
sleep
just
on Liverpool at no, your
I'm
own
not,
peril.
I'm saying that it could be
sleep on City. At your own peril as well. I'd love to see any of you try to sleep on City.
Nobody's sleeping on them.
Oh, trust me.
But they're just
especially some Arsenal fans. Know your level. Please.
I'm questioning, like, it's Antonio Conte with a full season with every player he's asked for. And let me tell you, if Spurs go out of the Champions League to only have one game per week, sorry, it's a wrap.
They might win the FA Cup.
That is where I'm even going to disagree with you. They will never... I don't. To me, I'm also at the point that they won't win the league, but they will be challenging.
Nah.
You know, I was listening to Mushaki Door Sport. I literally, one guy said Spurs win the league.
Oh, what's his name?
You I watch it now.
Name, the United fan.
Oh my God. I was just like, relax. United
fan. I'm like, broski.
Relax, bro. Calm relax. Down, bro. I just see that. Because even last season, Spurs were the only one to literally.
Yeah, Pep always bends over for Tottenham.
I really just think Spurs can do it. Like, Spurs can be in a title challenge, and I hate them with
it
everything.
It depends on what you consider a title challenge. If you consider finish what Chelsea did last season Spurs as a title
that was
challenge.
That was not a title challenge.
Or if you consider what Man U did in 2021 as
that
a title
was not
challenge.
A title challenge. I'm saying so. they will be... Okay, we also forget there's a World Cup in there as well, too. So there's a World Cup shoehorn there. I ask myself, if England don't go far... There's just a lot of factors, but I just think Antonio Conte is the difference. Like you said, it's the cost of Antonio Conte bigger than Spurs.
Because of the Spurs,
Spurs bigger than
Antonio
Conte.
Conte,
sorry. That is the question that will beckon at the end.
You know what's funny? Nothing happened this season. I can see that man packing his load and leaving.
Oh, therefore, doesn't have anything. That's why they are signing Jed Spence and everything, because they are preparing, bro.
You know what, bro? I'm tired. I feel like Conte just wakes up one morning and is like, you know what, bro? I'm tired of this shit, man. Time for me to move on.
That's why I'm saying that it's all or nothing for him. It's all or nothing for him, which is my problem with Antonio Conte. You can't bring him in to come and do top four, or do a rebuild. That's why Tottenham, that's why the name of the owners, like, he literally had to go and bring money and say, okay, 180 or 150 million here.
I don't know. I think they have a pretty solid window.
Plus the Richarlison signing. There's no drop
in
quality.
And I think they're the Chelsea of last season.
Like, fake?
No.
Chelsea were never in a title race.
No, I'm saying, for me, like, yeah. Even before they signed anybody, I had them in third already.
Yeah.
I just feel like they are not good enough to be in the title race,
mm-hmm.
but they're not bad enough to end out of the top four.
Fair enough. But I still think they'll be in the title race. Maybe just in maybe February. That's quite long.
Is that
maybe
a title race?
February, March. Bro, those days are Arsenal. Come on, man.
That's not a title race. They'll be way more competitive, but that's not a title race. Let's be honest. All right, so then we go to the red side of North London. Still work to be done, but I'm happy with our incomings. Our outgoings are just embarrassing.
But you can't blame. Do you know how much? I've already explained to you.
3 million guaranteed for Brent Leno is ridiculous.
The money.
It is ridiculous, bro. I do not care. Leno is a top 5 shortstopper in the league any day, anytime.
15 million, bro.
That's 15 million. That's 15 million easily. 3 million
deal,
is highway robbery.
That deal did not make sense to me.
Highway robbery. And he's going to save Fulham from relegation this season. You just watch.
So you think Fulham don't get relegated?
You just watch.
Okay, we'll come to that then. But literally, yeah, like the outgoings thing for clubs like United, Chelsea, and Arsenal is that these players on wages that smaller clubs cannot take. Like Betis now for Bellerin. They're going to agree, like, you know what, it's the same thing. They have to do it because he's not going
to
stay.
I'm so done with it, man. I can't wait till we get to the time when Arsenal players are wanted and not being begged to leave so we can generate money off of sales.
The best way to generate off
teams,
sales?
Teams be coming to us with audacity, bro. Robert T said, oh, I want Bellerin, but I don't want to pay anything for him. Can he terminate his contract so we can take him? What? I have never heard of that in my life. In my entire life.
Because there's a possibility.
But it does not make sense.
Because they know Arsenal need to.
Arsenal need to what?
They know that he's not in their plans at all.
Bellerin?
Yes.
Yeah, but it does not mean that you have to come and tell us to terminate his contract so you can pick him up. What? At the very least, if he loves the club so much, he should take a wage cut. What do you mean by terminate his contract?
Well, he's on his last year.
So we don't have to. Then you pay up. What's the excuse for no? Didn't we bloody pay up for Gabriel Jesus?
Not everybody has money. Like the economic background.
If you want a player, you pay up.
Fair enough. But we can't all say that. Like today, Alex Telles, the worst left back I've ever seen in my lifetime. I can't believe I ever rated that guy. You can't, trust me, if you don't watch a guy person, don't rate them at all. Alex Telles is going on a loan. My netters are still paying for him. Like,
he's going on loan?
He's going on loan to Sevilla. He's going on loan to Sevilla. Like, it's all the problems. Chelsea, their loan army is because nobody can pay up for those wages, which is always my fear buying players.
Just like it says, Van Mislintat and
Unai Emery,
Don Raul, they're the worst things that happened to Arsenal. They set our rebuild back post Wenger by 5 years, bro.
Who do what?
Bro, you talking about my only happy point, my only happy place is the fact that we let them go while it was still early.
Mm-hmm.
Before it was too late.
So imagine 12 years of
because
that.
They could still have been ruining us with signings like Lichtsteiner and bloody Torreira and bloody Socrates, bro.
Pablo Mari.
Pablo Mari was agent driven. Bro.
Money laundering. Edo and his guys.
But on our window this season, on the incomings, I've been very impressed. Fabio Vieira, I was literally just about to go to work. I was seeing.
I remember that morning.
It's Fabio Vieira.
I remember that morning. It's so funny to me because I received a message from my guys like, who the hell is Fabio Vieira? I was just like, what the hell? Who is this guy? You know, I even said it's like a tennis player or something like that. That I was so confused then. And I go upstairs and it's like, guy, do you know Fabio Vieira? I was just like as soon as I got upstairs, I knew he was going to ask that question. But yeah, from the Portuguese media and everyone,
yeah,
if you go read
that. From the look, I'm not even going to pretend like I know a lot about him. But he's a creative player, double footed. You know, can play on the wing. He just seems like the heir to Santi at Arsenal. I just see
the
him as that type of player.
Santi Cazorla.
Yeah.
Santi was too good.
Of course, Santi is my favorite Arsenal player ever.
It will be interesting to see how he does that.
I like the pickup of him. I like obviously Jesus. Oh my god.
You know what this guy has been shouting every single time? It's like I think I Survived Lacazette is actually one of the best hashtags I've ever seen in my life. It's like I Survived Lacazette. Because I see what he's saying, like,
bro,
I think
Arsenal fans doing Me Too movement. Hashtag I Survived Lacazette,
bro. Like, especially like even the Emirates Cup one when I saw the first goal or his first goal that he
bro,
passed
the
ball.
Third goal was the one for me, bro.
He passed the ball and got into the box.
No, the third goal, just the fight, like the striker's instinct to spot a loose ball, get there before the defender, and still poke it in. Lacazette, I've been telling Gabriel, oh, nice attempt. No, passed the ball on the wing, was involved in the gameplay, ran into the box for the rebound. Like, I never seen a striker run in the past 1.5 years, bro. I thought strikers were meant to be slow.
No. The thing is that even Aubameyang himself was even more of a box striker, if you think about it.
Yeah, like, I'm not taking anything away from Aubameyang. He was great for us while he was here.
Yeah.
But Lacazette, bro.
So, Lacazette, Morata, Lukaku. Bro. Nobody won. That was the worst battle ever.
Actually,
man,
a couple teams won. Real Madrid, Everton, and Lyon. They all won those transfers.
And Inter Milan, twice.
Twice. Speaking of Lukaku, spoke to him, his mentality. Fantastic. Top.
Now, this is me now. I'm going to tell everyone. I can't look at Lukaku. Like, that guy is hilarious, bro.
He's a meme, bro.
That Aslani one, I was like, you know, Aslani.
It was so funny.
I was just like, who is this guy?
I'm like, bro, did you not just run from the grind? What are you talking about? The
you know,
irony, bro.
I don't even think he ran from the guy. I think that thing was planned. I don't know if I've said it here
No
before.
Way, bro. No way, that's a stretch. You're literally doing football conspiracies right
bro,
now.
Bro, man. Like our Morata.
Bro, nah, I just don't want to talk about Lukaku. I still want to talk about Arsenal, the Jesus signing, Zinchenko. The Zinchenko signing was when I knew, okay, Arsenal know what they're doing in the window because, even Heike Jesus, because they forsook names for players that fit the system.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of teams aren't doing right now. That's why City and Liverpool are far ahead of every team right now.
Yeah.
Because there's a system in place.
Even if Fabio Vieira sign in.
And they understand players that fit the system. Zinchenko is just perfection. I don't like the disrespect on Tierney's name by Arsenal fans right now.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of how Teta wants to build up in that
2-3-5
formation.
2-3-2-T,
something like that. Zinchenko, in terms of in possession,
yeah, he's good.
Elite, bro. I'm not even joking. Like, just a couple games I've seen, he is a Teta fullback.
No, he's a technical. It's not even about Teta fullback. He's technically sound. And to me, he's a bit more technically sound than Tierney.
Yes.
No disrespect to Tierney.
People are disrespecting Tierney.
But I like Tierney. I've always said I like highly Tierney. Talented but the player. Problem is his availability.
Yes.
That availability.
Yes,
is
no doubt.
Like,
and it's the same thing for Tomiyasu with me.
Bro.
I think Tomiyasu, at some point, I thought he was fake. I thought he was not real. I just thought God pranked us. I was like, haha, Tomiyasu, you can leave now. Tomiyasu was in jail. Gabriel pretty much came and was winning all the headers, and then God needed him back in heaven. But Ben White and Ripe Saliba, bro. Bro, I know that's no fans joke about his aura, but that guy generally has an aura when he's defending.
I don't know if I've said it before. I think there are a lot of things. It's been a long summer. I think it's been 2 months.
I've never seen him commit.
Arteta and the treatment of Saliba, I know
is iffy to give him credit because we haven't been successful while he was away. And you cannot tell me he's not better than Mari. He wasn't better than Mari and those man them at the time.
Yeah.
But
credit to him,
he has come back twice the player he was when we signed him in 2018. 2019, sorry.
I mean, he went out on loan for 1 year.
Yeah.
Then he came back during.
Came back, then went to Nice, came back, then went to Marseille.
I'm thinking maybe Arteta was not convinced by him. I'm sorry to say. As you said, iffy, but I don't think he was convinced by Saliba yet.
But, bro, Saliba right now, that's 70 million.
I remember at the point someone was saying if Koundé doesn't go to Chelsea, it's Saliba that these people were coming for.
It's that 70 million, bro. Saved. 70 million just walks in for free.
That's a new signing. And like I said,
And that now allows Ben White to be able to take up that right back role when Tomi is not available.
That's basically 2-3. It really helps the 2-3.
Because Ben White's in possession of the ball is elite as well.
So Ben White basically inverts and becomes part of the 3.
Him and Zinchenko. And then you have Saliba and then Partey. Let's not speak of TP5, but
let's not even go.
I would just like to say majority of these football players disgust me. Let's leave it at that. The fact that there needs to be a training on consent to grown men who are supposed to be role models to a bloody, you know what?
Guys, just leave it let at me that. Say, like, me even at that. Even on that, I just think, like, fan idolatry is the worst concept
Facts.
I've ever seen in my life.
Facts. The least emotion you can have as a human being is empathy.
Like, literally.
The least emotion you can
like, that day, I know everyone knows about what we're talking, but, like, I don't want to talk too much on this, but day, I saw what they call no empathy. It was all about the football, and that's the day I realized, you know what? It's not that deep.
I'm just going to leave it at that.
It's genuinely not... Football is not that deep. People need to find a life outside. I know I love football, and I do stuff in football, but, fam, if football is above your humanity,
that's a problem.
You need to check yourself, fam.
Yeah.
So that's where we're going to end on that.
White and Zinchenko inverting. And it also means, in as much as he ends up in celebration photos, we don't have to see Cedric again, thankfully. So White and Zinchenko inverting with TP5. And then that creates a spread with Odegaard, Saka, Smith-Rowe, Xhaka on the left.
Xhaka still plays?
Jesus.
Oh, yeah. So, Xhaka and Odegaard in the half spaces.
Eh?
Xhaka and Odegaard in the half spaces.
And then the front three.
By the way, Eddie Nketiah.
I said it.
You know, you call. I just remembered consistently. I just remembered a few years ago when you when we're comparing him to
Greenwood.
Yeah, Mason Greenwood. Who
I don't think he like. I think Greenwood is a better footballer. But even last
who
year,
should never return to playing for United.
Oh yeah, sir, totally forgot about that. We don't speak of MG11.
Mm-hmm.
But I said it last year when I watched him in those last few games of the season. He's not the player most rival fans think he is anymore. Yeah. His ball security, his strength, his quickness. He just seems like he completely... And do you know the game I noticed it?
Chelsea.
Arsenal West Ham.
Even though he didn't score.
The game we won West Ham 2-1, anybody who watched that game without bias would see the improvement that Nketiah had made. What's all this nonsense about used to be Henry, number 14 used to be Henry, nice Nketiah. You football fans are so weird, bro. So weird.
I feel like lately, I'm going to call you out on this. You need to stop being called in by troll accounts. Troll accounts are meant to make you feel that way.
Bro.
And it's up to you for how you're going to react. Like, bro, there are many times I see you react to troll account, I'm just like, bro, you're bigger than this man. That's what they're trying to do to you,
I can't even let some things just irritate me so much.
It's troll accounts, bro.
Bro.
My Goldbridge is now officially a troll account.
I respect Nketiah so much. I respect the work he has put in. Earned every single penny of his new contract. And all he's done is given himself the opportunity to go out and prove himself. And 100% back it. If we had let him go for free to a Brighton,
ooh,
with the way he's playing right ooh, now, bro.
I was waiting. Graham no, Potter the, ball.
He still has immense talent, bro. He still has immense talent. Here to prove himself. But respectable window from Arsenal. Love the appointment of Odegaard as captain. Don't like the disrespect of his name on his name by Arsenal fans once again. That brother is a baller, bro. Just keep it at that. Saka, I expect him to do his thing again. Smith Rowe is almost a forgotten soldier right now, but he still has immense talent. Like, I will still get a CM and potentially a new winger to take us to the next level, but I'm loving how life at Arsenal.
The only thing I can say is that Arsenal make top four for me right now. This is hard to say, but Arsenal make top four for me right now. But I question if something happens to number five mid-season.
Yeah.
That is the only cloud above everything. Like, it's hard for me to... I would say that because he should be... that he something should happen, but that's we don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. So, that's it.
Yeah, I agree with that. Let's move on to City. We're not going to spend too much time on City. We all expected them to sign Haaland. Everybody and their grandmother knew it was going to happen, and it happened.
But Julian Alvarez.
See, that's where the real deal is.
Julian Alvarez. How many times did I say it?
On my life, he's one of those players I never watched. But when I heard his name, I rated him.
That's exactly it, bro. I think is that when you now see the highlights of him scoring, there was a game and I heard
I've never watched the highlight of Julian.
They said he scored six goals. He said he scored with left foot, right foot. Yeah,
so I didn't watch the highlights, but I saw that he scored six goals on Twitter. I swear on my life, like there's no reason for me to say I've never watched a player by rating because it's embarrassing. But I had never watched Alvarez one game.
I haven't watched enough, bro.
I didn't even know how he looked until Community Shield.
Mm-hmm.
But when I heard the name Julian Alvarez, I was like, yeah, he's gonna be a good player.
Like the skill set, and the thing is that Man United are so horribly run. God forbid. Like literally, his skill set. After reading and understanding, I'm just like, you know what? You might be even more important than Erling Haaland this season, because now going to Man City, selling Raheem Sterling and Gabriel Jesus was not the right thing.
I think they both wanted to go. If City
yes,
keep
and
them
City
both.
Don't care. Like, yeah. City, if you want to go, the door is right there. That's yeah. I love City's this thing. But as far as I'm concerned, they need a winger.
They need a direct
winger.
Yes.
An outlet.
And Alvarez can be
Alvarez can do, but I think Alvarez they look light. I don't know. They just feel like
they're not as deep as they used to be.
Like even this left back thing now with Cucurella, as far as I'm concerned,
they could sign Sergio Gomez.
Huh?
Sergio Gomez, I think, from Anderlecht.
Oh, you know who said they can sign? Rafael Guerrero from Dortmund. He has one more year left on his contract.
The 72-year-old guy.
Rafael Guerrero.
Yes.
Is Rafael Guerrero?
But he's 72 years old.
72 years.
He's old.
He's 28.
He played football for so long, bro.
It's because the first time you watched Rafael Guerrero was in 2016.
Yeah,
but it's literally. My head, I'm
like, bro, this guy is probably like 37.
Bro, he's 28.
He has the technical security to play for Pep as a left back. Yeah,
Rafael Guerrero is there, but I'd like if they don't. And apparently, this guy from Man City, the academy.
By
the way, Man City sold the academy this year. They've gone to copy Liverpool style, bro. Like, Man City are literally a net profit at this point from their, what do you call it, net spend.
I just think you can never write them off.
No, obviously.
But if they lose Bernardo, then I don't know what happens from there.
City needs to stop that.
They might sign Paqueta too. If they lose Bernardo.
Nobody can replace Bernardo like that, bro. The dynamism of Bernardo.
You sound like Humphrey, right?
Yeah?
You sound like Humphrey. I think Paqueta can do... I think Paqueta is one of the only players in the world that can do that.
Paqueta is a 10, and the area you're pretty compared to what Bernardo has done this last
season. I know Bernardo's work rate is the most unbelievable thing about him, and that says a lot. Like the type of footballer he is, mm-hmm. as talented as he is, his work rate is probably the best thing about him.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, like the late great Jerry Buss said, you're a 5-carat diamond. And I'm not going to find a 5-carat diamond for you. Now, whether or not I want to replace you with 5 1-carat diamonds, I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to replace Bernardo.
Oh, definitely.
With 5 1-carat diamonds.
So 2 or 3 players. City need to go and get a winger, but I don't know which winger is there. Cody Gakpo is direct, basically.
Gakpo, I don't know.
Who else is there?
The winger
market. Maybe it's Melai Sarr, bro.
Winger market, yeah.
Ismail Assar.
Yeah, I can't believe like an Everton did not go for Assar. Dwight McNeil, amazing pickup.
I was wondering when somebody was waiting, bro.
Amazing pickup, bro. Bro, Dwight, I could see him playing for Man United.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. That we need a right winger. Let's never go into that, but let's go with Liverpool.
Oh, Liverpool. You guys play with Liverpool too much. Every single one of you. You see me, for as I am alive, I will never slander Liverpool in my life.
Is it because of what they've done to your club as well, too?
Because you can't doubt those bastards.
The problem with Liverpool, I keep saying for me, is Sadio Mane going is much more. Oh my God! Like,
did you see them in the Shield?
No, I get what you're saying, Trent. All of those things. Oh no. One thing. Sadio Mane going will affect them a bit. Not as much as people are saying. But their midfield. Guys, Jordan Henderson is okay, but his days is done.
Yeah, I've been saying this since. Hendo, time to pack your things.
Thiago.
At this point, UI is a sports prefect.
Bro.
It's time for you to pack up your things.
called Jordan Henderson a sport prefect.
Thiago still has it. Fabio Carvalho is where it's at.
Oh, definitely. But where does he play? Is he not a winger? We're talking about availability.
I rate Javier Elliott as well. Javier Elliott is where it's at.
Javier Elliott?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no. Those guys are ballers.
But I see your problem in terms of James Milner, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, Naby Keita hasn't been the player.
Naby Keita, I was listening to the podcast, Kalle Anka was saying, when he's good, he's good. When he's bad, he's bad.
No middle ground. But that's the same thing with Mane as well. Mane never had a middle ground.
Oh, yeah. But when Mane wants to turn up, he will turn up. He will turn up. Guys, we're going to go on a quick break, and we'll be right back. We're back. Sorry for the break. Something happened.
So,
yeah, one Liverpool.
You're just sleeping on Liverpool.
Why? So like,
Just because they lost Sadio Mane doesn't mean they're not the team.
They're not. I feel like there'll be a bit of a drop off. And Charles Darwin.
But you can say the same for City as well.
I think there's going to be a drop off.
They potentially have to get used to playing with a striker.
That is not really good as well on the ball. That's true. I think we're going more direct this season. Like, you're going to see a lot of Trent crosses, Darwin Nunes knock-ins, like a striker back to the days of old days and all that. Alan Shearer. And Darwin is good in running behind and all that. Even City in the first game, apparently there were a lot of runs that, like in the community shield, there were a lot of runs Haaland was making, which, by the way, I can't believe people were actually... do people not actually get scared, like, with Haaland comes missing? Like, the missing...
It's the same thing they did for Darwin.
We know about that. Darwin is new. I can get that. But Haaland has been doing this. It's a villain story you guys are creating. You guys do not know the monster you are creating. And
they don't know the monster they've created with Nunes.
Nunes? Do you rate Nunes because he's in Liverpool?
Yes.
Just because he's in Liverpool?
Yes. Everybody that Jurgen Klopp signs, I rate until they prove me wrong.
Well, anyways, I just think Liverpool, I just think there's just going to be, it's a confusing season for me in this situation where
that's why you guys think Spurs are in the title race, but I still think the top two teams are still a step or two ahead of the rest of the chasing pack.
Yeah. Still, I'm like, everyone should get there. I'm just saying, and when I mean Spurs are entitled race, I mean, like, you know, just they will show something, but they would eventually drop off. They're not winning the league. That's a reach. That's an absolute reach. But yeah.
Yeah. Then let's talk about just quick few special mentions. Juventus, they signed Pogba, signed Di Maria.
Yeah. That's crazy. My team is no longer relevant to your eyes at all.
Oh, we've not spoken about Man U?
That's crazy. I know you hate Man U.
There's not much to talk about United, to be fair. Transfer window has been shocking. Lisandro is a decent signing.
But you know what's funny? I don't like that, though. I don't like how people change their mind. You wanted Lisandro, but you didn't.
I didn't want him to come and play centre back for us.
But he was going to come and play left back, which is not his best position.
But first of all, systems matter as opposed to formations and positions.
But he fits. You know what's funny? He actually fits Arsenal a bit.
Inverted left back.
In inverted left back.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah. We're both saying the same thing.
Yeah. Secondly, Arsenal were not signing him to play centre back.
Yeah, no.
I don't think he's better than any of our three centre backs.
That's okay. But we cannot,
for the role Arsenal were signing him for, I thought it was a great signing. I don't know how much better he makes your defense. He does improve the ball playing ability of your defense.
Which is very paramount in our team.
Yes.
Which is very paramount in our team.
And yes. But
he's available. Lissandro is good.
Lissandro is a good signing. Eriksen, I rock with.
Malatia.
I don't know anything about Malatia.
You don't know anything about him, but I've watched a bit of him and I think he's decent. And one thing about Luke Shaw is that once he gets someone that puts him on his toes, we see him. But if he doesn't show up, it's his last day of his contract.
Luke Shaw's Bruno did not impress me in preseason.
At all?
No.
So here's the thing. I know I'm a
big... Especially the Villa game. He was horrible.
I'm a big Bruno. Did you watch the game?
Yeah, I watched the Villa game.
So you were awake at the same time that time?
Yeah. Jesus I was not Christ. Alone, but I watched the Villa game.
Oh, yeah. The thing with like Bruno is that... Bruno is a good player. I know I've been very, very out for him because I still can't believe he makes the decisions he makes because that's his problem. He has the ability to play that Hollywood pass and everything, but even in training kids, they tell you at some point that keep it simple, keep the ball. And I believe Erik ten Hag is already... What Bruno needed was pruning. Basically cutting the parts that you don't need to do this every time. Keep the ball when you need to keep the ball. If you can't make the pass, don't make the pass. That is what is going to help us because Bruno was more high risk, high reward. But now is the time to say keep the ball because the best way for your team to continue to play is constant pressure. Because when you give the ball back to the other team, they have the possession. But that's my problem with Bruno. But if Erik ten Hag he's gonna coach this team. I believe he's gonna work on that. Like for me, Man United have not addressed the problems. Let's be honest. They've not addressed the problems. We need two CMs and number. I do not want to call his name anymore in my life. Number 39 still plays for my club. Meanwhile, he should be.
You know what's funny?
I don't know why people still rate that guy though.
You know what's funny? I was literally talking to our friends like last week, and we're talking about pet peeves and you know what makes you angry. I was like, they asked, "Who do you think is the easiest person to rile up?" I said, "Fonto." They said, "Why?" I said, just walk up to him and say, Scott McTominay. And you get a 50-minute lecture on why McTominay is the worst footballer to ever leave.
I don't think, like, he plays centre-back for his country. And he plays for, like, I think United have not addressed their issues. In as which, like, you know, this whole Frankie de Jong chase, I just hope something comes up. Or even if they don't get Frankie de Jong, I hope they have backup situations. But I think it's more of a Eric Ten Hag chase.
Yeah,
Dan.
My I heard from one of my friends that ETH said, sorry guys, I have I'm doing hay fever. ETH said it said that if they don't get Frankie, then they should be able to train one of the players
he said that.
Play in that position. And I don't know how I'd feel about that as a United fan. Like well, I should, y'all should have given up on the chase then, time ago.
As far as
Ruben Neves can slot in that role perfectly.
I know Ruben Neves and Frankie de Jong are not the right.
Can play as a that DM. Role.
He can play as a DM, but
that you guys need. Even if you sign Frankie, you still need to sign a DM.
Yeah, but he, like again, complimenting players. Ruben Neves is not really like Ruben Neves is okay, but I just don't see him as the ideal player. I will stand on my word. Tifo football since 2019. Bro, I will stand on my word for that guy. Bro, the stats prove it. Everything proves it. They said, they said, the numbers, you crunch the numbers.
I mean, I'm tired. Here's Sangare for how many years now? I'm tired of his name, bro.
But I'm saying it again. Like, even if we get Frankie de Jong, we still need that guy. Or we go get Fabian Ruiz. Apparently, him and Napoli are still good, are still working. Like Napoli and him, the relationship is broken.
I don't know if Fabian Ruiz is the DM you're looking
for. He is
for.
A DM.
I don't know if he's the DM
but you're looking that's for. The thing. Is Ruben Neves DM in it? It's not a ball-winning midfielder who can bring the ball. Like Fabian Ruiz and Ruben Neves, they literally have the same.
You're looking for a ball-winning midfielder who can bring the ball out. Up.
And that is
Dekkers.
Dekkers is no longer a central DM. He's a CM. Let's be honest.
But he's a ball-winning midfielder. Bro,
Dekkers is not what we need, and I'm sorry to say.
He's a ball-winning midfielder that can carry
guys,
the ball.
Let's let go of Dekkers, man. Dekkers is not the guy for us.
But Eriksen, I like. Rashford needs this hashtag revival season for Rashford.
You're going to put some respect on his name, too. Rashford and Sancho. And we're going to, in fact, you know what? This is my time to.
007.
This is my time to. To call you out because we've been talking about Ronaldo. Ronaldo, I've been saying a lot, but now is the time for you to understand that Ronaldo is not doing. It's not nice anymore.
I don't even know what the hell is going on anymore. I know he wanted to leave,
but nobody wants him.
And he said. I have no idea what the hell is going on with this situation.
No, but
it's one of the proper weirdest situations I've ever seen.
Someone said this. If Barcelona was not in the transfer window. There are two sides. There are six sides of this thing. If Barcelona was not in the transfer window, this would be the most spoken thing about. Be the most spoken thing this summer.
Wait. The whole Ronaldo thing is messed up, but I did not like that interview today. Literally half the squad left. Bruno left. Ilanga left.
But it was only Ronaldo. He literally did not mention Ronaldo's name.
They know the reporter mentioned Ronaldo's
name. No, apparently. Yes, the reporter mentioned Ronaldo. But he responded that for the. Like, if you go and listen to Eric Ten Hag's response, it was like every player.
My problem is not ETH. Okay, ETH. But, like, the response to it by United fans was Ronaldo is this, Ronaldo is that. They had permission to leave. Half the fans, no, half the players didn't. Left. They did.
They didn't.
That's why I read that they had permission
to leave. No, they didn't. Leave. That's the thing. That's why Eric Ten Hag addressed it. They didn't have permission to leave.
Okay, but they probably assumed they had permission to leave. And they all left.
See the thing? everyone always tries to
So why is Ronaldo getting majority of
Okay, let's be honest now. If any other player is doing this thing, we will be speaking about it a lot more from a place of this guy has not been professional.
But Ronaldo, what the hell is professional?
Oh my God, now
what
we're talking about
being professional.
Jesus Christ. You see, this is what we're saying.
What does being professional mean?
Like, you respect the, look at what Pogba did. He wanted to leave, but what was he doing?
Pogba's, bro, if you want to leave, are you telling me people have never forced moves away?
But that is what we're saying. If Ronaldo is doing these things, he wants to leave, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he's trying to, like, this thing.
What did he do that was so unprofessional?
First of all, like, he didn't show up for training. Apparently, family issues. That's yes. Okay. That's okay. We'll allow that one. But all these little things, like speaking on all of these things, I just don't
what,
see
what it. Did he do? Oh, I still haven't been given a clear instance on what exactly he did that was so disrespectful, aside from wanting to leave a club and not being interested in a rebuild at the age of 37.
That's okay. But I'm tired of the mental gymnastics everyone is trying to say. Like, Mark Goldbridge telling me that Ronaldo wanted to go for ice bath and all of those things. Like, he left. Listen, it's a tense time where I just think, it's time. If he wants to go, he needs to go.
Honestly, I don't buy that he's disrespected the club in any way, shape, or form. I don't buy that he's not been a true professional.
Why?
Because we've seen players do these things when they want out. So, like, he took it, actively said, I'm not going
but
to take
we,
part
but
in
we
training.
Literally, but we literally just said the
did
same thing.
Did he say
about
he's not going to take part in training?
He didn't say that, but
did he
but,
take part in training?
But he did.
The only time he didn't take part in training was when he had family issues.
Mm-hmm.
Are we not going to respect the private lives of footballers?
We are.
So, what's... There's no, you've not told me, you've not told us anything
about him leaving. Let's be honest, we know that
family, but everybody left.
We know that not everybody left. Ronaldo left at halftime, everyone else left at the 75th minute. If you want to even talk about that,
but they all left before
but
the
you
game
are saying,
ended.
But you are saying the same thing. We are literally saying that,
bro. This is literally flirting versus harassment, bro.
Flirting versus harassment. This is why I'm saying the mental gymnastics everyone is trying to cover up for Ronaldo has been too much for me,
bro. You guys are just taking everything personal because he wants to leave.
If he wants to leave, he wants to leave. But the problem is that nobody wants him as well, too.
Yeah, that's fine. But
now I'm gonna bring this point back where you called it last year that if the chance to sign Ronaldo comes up, you take it yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But nobody's taking it now, which is what exactly I was trying to say last year. I was trying to say this last year that if you don't like, you don't have to take it.
Which big team needs a striker right now?
Chelsea.
Chelsea were in the market for Ronaldo. I have no idea.
But Thomas Tuchel said no.
Okay, but then if they go for Aubameyang, is that not worse off? Is it not are you not better off having Ronaldo?
That's them, but they said they don't want him. Bayern. So now
it's probably because of wages.
Huh? Okay. Bayern.
Sergio Mane is going to play up top for them.
He doesn't fit their philosophy.
Have you watched him in preseason?
That's
games?
What they said.
Have you watched him in preseason games, Sergio Mane?
Yeah.
Has he played well up top?
No, but this preseason. That's what I'm saying. He doesn't Bayern. But what did Oliver Kante?
Bro, Mane has impressed me there in preseason games. They just have to stick him there, and they're going to go places this
okay,
year.
Okay, but they said, but everyone, but who is there to take him?
You guys are taking everything Ronaldo does to heart because he wants to leave.
That's fine, but
because the mere fact that everybody ended up leaving and then Ronaldo is getting clowned for leaving is a joke to me.
What do you mean Ronaldo getting clowned for him leaving?
You guys are killing him for leaving at halftime.
He wants. We're still talking about halftime. I'm just saying that this all these things about Ronaldo, for me, is that I'm really really confused at this point. What? Because let me be honest. I'm okay with Ronaldo staying. I am very, very okay with him staying. But all these things everyone is trying to cover up for him, doing this and all of that, like, look at the Gobert. Like, Ronaldo will stay, and that's okay. But he needs to accept this is his time of his life now.
I still don't believe... I believe the remark that he was unprofessional was so unfair. Because he was anything but unprofessional.
Anything but unprofessional.
So, are we going to dispute the fact that
let's talk about this thing here. If any other player did this thing,
did what
specifically the Pogba thing? If he said all this situation, I want to leave and I respect the club. Pogba did not actually come out to say that.
Did Ronaldo come out?
Yes, Mendes. Everyone can see that Mendes is doing all of this.
Agent play. Didn't we hear that Pogba was unhappy in Man United?
Yes, but he was unhappy, but he remained respectful to the club.
But it was his agent that came out.
He remained respectful to the club.
His agent came out and said it. George Mendes came out and said it. What's the difference?
But he remained respectful to the club. He continued to play. Even he would show up for training on time.
Did Ronaldo not play preseason?
Ronaldo just played one preseason. He showed up on Friday.
Did he come late? Did he come late for training?
He showed up on Friday and he showed up on Tuesday.
Because he had family issues.
That's fine. That's fine. I've accepted that.
You're Pogba and Ronaldo right now.
I'm actually confused as to what we're talking about, as to what people think.
Because I personally think every single United fan who has had a say on this Ronaldo thing is just mad at him for wanting to leave the club.
I don't care if he leaves, bro.
Yeah, well, sure.
I don't care. I'm okay with him staying, but that's I do not care. Like, all these things about goals and everything and all of that, like, fam, you can go. Like, it's okay if he wants to leave, but I can tell you, bro, if nobody wants you.
It's fine. Nobody wants him. If I don't get why you guys are so pressed if nobody wants him, about him wanting to leave.
Because now we're trying to tell you, because now I'm confused as to what we're saying last year that we shouldn't have signed him. It's a proof that we shouldn't have signed him.
What I know is it's a myth that United are better off without Ronaldo. That's what I'm going to say.
You get growing pains, bro. Like,
it's a myth.
Like, if he wants to stay, he can stay, but he has to adapt because now he has played to Erik ten Hag's hand. He's not going to have to start every game.
And he was not unprofessional. Huh? I'm sorry, I don't like that statement that he was unprofessional. It's far from it. You know, like, we're not going to say he was faking family issues. That's just totally unfair because we don't know the intricacies of what goes on in his life. He had family issues. When they were resolved, he showed up for training on time. He played the preseason game. He left early, but other players left early as well. I've not seen anything wrong in his conduct. His agents came out. So many players' agents come out when they're unhappy. He asked the club
But guess what? Is that not what they accused for? Well, being unprofessional, like you don't control
it. And you didn't like it.
I didn't like it
exactly.
Well too.
So why guess you don't it to another person?
And I don't like it too. I didn't like that Raiola was doing it, and I don't like that Ronaldo is doing this too.
You didn't like that they did that to Pogba.
I didn't. Bro, Pogba, so don't talk about Pogba's treatment when it comes to. I'm just saying.
Bro, you just brought up Pogba.
Though. I'm bringing Pogba. I'm saying that I didn't like what Mino Raiola did as well too. But I'm saying.
So that's on Raiola. But can't put it on Raiola and then blame Ronaldo for Mendes coming out to say it.
Because he wants to leave too.
Eh?
He wants to.
But Pogba wanted to leave too. But you're putting it on Raiola.
Whatever, man.
Bro, this.
Guys, I'm just gonna accept like winning Ronaldo arguments at this point. It's just like there's no point in winning or losing anymore because whatever.
Top six predictions. Everybody probably knows where I'm going with this. Every single year, I have Liverpool winning the league, so I have them at first. I have City at second. I have Spurs at third. I have Arsenal at fourth. I have Chelsea at fifth. And I have United at sixth.
Like I said, I can't really make any predictions on Arsenal yet. That's the really, really pivoting point for me because he's literally, as people say, the glue. At this point, he's literally the glue for that team. So I just don't see. I still think City win the league. No matter what, I still think City win the league. Like, it's really, really. Spurs come third. I'm finding it hard to dismantle the top two because, like, it's hard for me to say Liverpool would drop off and everything. But yeah, I think Spurs comes third. Depending on the day, depending on the issue, with Arsenal come fourth or fifth. But I think the United come sixth. Unless United end this window with two with midfielders, then I can think we come fourth.
Relegation.
So you don't. So let's say United sign three players.
I don't think United is better than Arsenal.
Huh?
I don't think United is better than Arsenal.
I mean, I agree at this point, but if they sign four players and you know those are respectable players who can play the role,
did Arsenal players die?
Huh?
Arsenal players didn't die.
No, but are you saying that there's no possibility of them not coming top four?
As it stands, no.
But hypothetically?
I don't know what the hypothetical world holds for us.
Fair enough.
Relegation. I was tripping. Fulham are getting relegated.
I don't know what you were talking about, bro.
They're winning the championship next season. By the way,
Alexander,
congratulations Mitrovic to Norwich for getting promotion back to the Premier
League. By the way, someone signed Timo Pukki, bro. Someone signed Timo Pukki.
Congratulations to Norwich on getting promotion back to the Premier League. Can't wait for the free 3 points next season. But I think Fulham are going back. Bournemouth. I don't think they've made enough signings. And I think Leeds.
Why is everyone saying Leeds?
Because they've not gotten enough quality for me. I get Salah Adams is a quality right back, but
he's not even a right back.
He is.
He's a centre midfielder.
He was a right back for Leipzig.
No.
Tyler Adams
is a central midfielder. Tyler
Adams used to play right back for Leipzig.
Sometimes, but he's a central midfielder.
No. He
Tyler
plays
Adams
right back.
Is a central midfielder.
I'm telling you, he was on Arsenal's shortlist for right backs last season.
But he's a central midfielder.
So he can double as a central midfielder and right back. So what's the argument about?
But he's primarily a central midfielder.
He's just not quality enough. The loss of Rafinha is going to be too difficult to
Sinisterra
overcome. Huh?
Sinisterra.
The loss of Rafinha is going to be too difficult
nah,
to overcome.
Man. People don't even try to even think about other players that just come.
I think Nottingham Forest is going to have a Sheffield United type of season.
Nah, I just think they're just going to come 16th.
And I don't
17th.
Think they're going to finish in the top 10. But 11th to 15th is well within their grasp.
16th to 17th for me. They just don't have to, what do you call it? Actually, you know what?
There's something about heritage clubs in their first season in the Premier League.
Fair enough.
Look at Sheffield United.
This is mine. Fulham, Bournemouth. Everton in the mix a bit, but they wouldn't get relegated again. By the way, Frank Lampard, first or second manager to get sacked. You don't think so?
I hear it.
Brentford.
I don't buy it.
You need to understand how much of an influence Christian Eriksen was on those guys.
Yeah, but they had a good first half to the season as well.
And they were slumping. They were literally slumping. You know how relegation teams
Tony
slump.
Got injury.
Huh?
Tony got an injury.
Was it long?
Everton was out for like 3 or 4 games. In a Brentford season, 3 or 4 games is huge.
But like literally,
for
Ivan Toney to miss. It was literally a slump. It was Christian Eriksen coming in that literally, if you go look at.
But they're getting Damsgaard too. He's not Eriksen level, but he's a quality player.
Very, very injury prone, bro. Trust. He's very, very injury prone.
If he stays fit, he could do bits for them.
Yeah, but I still think, I don't know. I just don't have the doubt. I
think they're in
Leeds.
A better situation than Leeds.
I highly doubt that Leeds thing, bro.
Highest goal scorer.
Mo Salah.
I'm tired of Salah. I think I'm going. I want to go with Haaland.
Haaland
just because of how much chances City creates. But then again, I picked Lukaku to win the Golden Boot last season. So
I think it's Mo Salah because, well, the same reason could be used for Haaland to be aged because, like, you know, you have a World Cup there.
Yeah,
Salah.
I'm just.
But Haaland also
tired
gets
of
rest.
Salah winning Golden Boots.
Salah could be there. Or maybe a break. No, Harry Kane is too tired. He'll be too tired. He'll burn out.
Kane. No, I think the goals will be shared amongst Kane's son. And Richarlison could chip in with like 8 to 10 goals. Most surprising team of the season, Nottingham Forest for me.
Most surprising team.
It's going to be Nottingham Forest for me. Because I don't think if Newcastle have a good season, it's going to be that much of a surprise to us.
Newcastle, but they haven't. You know what I love about Newcastle? They haven't done the outlandish thing.
They're bidding for Madsen, though.
Huh?
They're bidding for.
But that is good.
Yeah.
That is a good signing. That is not outlandish. That is the point where you'd be like.
I do think they need an upgrade in the striking position.
They could have gotten Ekitike or something like that. But West Ham.
I think West Ham is going to disappoint a few people.
Really?
I think Newcastle is going to finish ahead of them.
For the Conference League?
Potentially.
Or South London's finest.
Fulham.
South London's finest.
Oh, Crystal Palace.
Yes.
I mean, they're a culture club.
Bro, those signings that I work with, Cheick Doucouré, and I don't know a lot about Chris Adams, but...
Sorry, Fulham is in West London.
Yeah.
Crystal Palace. I mean, that's a good shout. Vieira, second season. Let's see how he copes. I hope he does a tremendous job. Not on Friday, of course, but across the season. Sorry. Most likely not to do well in terms of the new signings.
You said West Ham. I don't think it's West Ham. West Ham will be fine.
I think West Ham is going to be
surprisingly
disappointing to you.
I just realized the team that we don't really speak up, that we've not talked about, that might be in a relegation battle. Wolves.
Moutinho is 42 years old.
They've only signed
the guy from 42. I'm just exaggerating.
Yeah, like they've not signed anybody. They loaned out
Leicester. Leicester.
Oh yeah, they're not looking good.
They've not signed anybody. Any single player.
They sold Kasper Schmeichel today as well too.
Yeah, for 1 million.
1 million.
1 million.
I thought it was almost. I didn't see the price.
For 1 million.
Something is going on there. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Leicester in a relegation battle. Everton.
No, relegation battle is crazy, but.
Yeah, they will.
The heights they were at.
It's lower.
I don't see it there next season.
Because they've not signed anyone.
And they might lose out on Tielemans.
Huh?
I think Tielemans is a matter of if Arsenal just buys him.
And they could lose out. They could lose Jamie Vardy too.
To who?
Jamie Vardy has 1 year left on his contract.
They could potentially have to go through a rebuild.
Bro, like they could lose out on Jamie Vardy too.
And losing Jamie Vardy, losing Maddison and potentially Tielemans means next season they might be in a relegation battle. Like not this season. Like if they all stay this season, they might lose them next season. And then that means if you're in a relegation battle, it means you're losing Ndidi and Harvey Barnes as well. So Soyuncu, Fofana.
Oh, yeah, those players, so aren't you, some of them, in fact, like, they have, like, 4 or 5 players on their last day of contracts, too.
It's not looking good, bro.
It's not looking good for Brendan Rodgers, bro.
It's not looking good. Like, Leicester.
Which team do you pray on their downfall?
Chelsea and Spurs. And Man United. Easily.
That's crazy. Last season, my team to pray on downfall was Arsenal, and it worked. But I'm not going to do that anymore. I love you guys. I love you too much to do that.
Nah. Pray. I need more haters. I've gained new fans.
Bro,
we need more
haters. I prayed on your downfall and it worked, but nah, I'm going to mind just Chelsea.
We're going to win Europa League. Top 4 in Europa.
Top 4 in Europa.
That should be the aim for the season.
First time, first, if ever you've heard it here first, top 4 in Europa for Arsenal. Any other thing is a failure.
Should be the aim for the season.
Any other thing is a failure, according to Faye. Top 4 in Europa.
Setting us up for failure by saying any other thing is a failure.
Yeah?
Because if we make top 4 and don't win Europa, it's still a successful season.
I'm joking, obviously.
But I think top 4 in Europa will. I think it will be a statement of intent.
For Man United, I just think you just need to just start cooking. If it.
No, I think it's to find a way to get back into the Champions League. For most United, likely the Europa League.
I see another season of Europa after this. I'm sorry to say. I'm sorry to say, I'm a very, very patient man when it comes to this kind of thing. Because David De Gea, by the way, treatment of Dean Henderson, thank you for saying that, Dean Henderson, because people need to speak on that. Like what they did to you was not fair at all. Like, let's be honest.
It was not right.
It was not right. And everyone is like, he's unprofessional. That's not unprofessional, bruv. He's never going to play. He's never going to play for United anymore. And by the way, and it's all what you always say, you want more of the US media here, like the US type of media.
Facts.
Not everybody hiding and facts. Putting words on there that they say, like, he said what he
Excuse
said.
Excuse my French, but talk your shit.
He said what he said, and he's going to bang in Nottingham Forest. Actually, now, you know what, yeah.
I can't wait for North London Derby next season. I won't see Richarlison and Jesus going at it.
I was wrong. I think Nottingham Forest might be the most surprising team for me.
Bro, that team is stacked. There's just something about culture teams when they get back to the Premier League.
But to bend in 10 players, that means they might suffer a bit.
So look at Leeds, their first season in Premier League, bro.
But they pretty much had the same team plus Rafinha, Rodrigo.
So I'm saying there's something about your return to the Premier League.
That's true. Leeds did not have what they call it, Bamford for most of last season too.
Patrick Bamford. So is Patrick Bamford as the savior?
I think he might do the work this year too.
So Patrick Bamford is the Lord and Savior.
He's not the Lord and Savior, but he was particularly missed last season. Calvin Phillips was missed last season too.
And he's gone.
That's fine. They'll figure it out. I don't know why. Maybe it's just the Jesse March.
Yo, listen.
The Jesse March. I know you're from Leeds.
Leeds is my end. Yeah. Bro. But unfortunately, we might be going down.
I don't think Leeds go down, man. Jesse March. No, I'm not going to do that. I was about to do something corny here, bro.
I think that's all.
Oh, special shout out to PSG. You remember I told that PSG are doing something?
Yeah, Vitinha. The Vitinha signing. Vitinha and Fabio Vieira were the two.
Yeah.
You know, but Vitinha was ahead of Fabio Vieira. But Vitinha for me, my friend Dixon has been telling me about Vitinha for over a year now.
No, Renato Sanchez.
That's a good signing as well from Lille.
For 15 million.
It's a really solid signing.
15 million.
The business is swapping out Wijnaldum and Danilo Carvalho, right?
No, Wijnaldum and...
Danny Pereira.
No, Idris Agey.
Idris Agey, yes.
They've literally told them to go.
Fantastic.
Like, the business is doing, like... Fantastic. Ubisoft Campos, I'm telling you, Mbappe is signing the deal, changes the tide.
I like the new coach as well.
Gauthier, bro. And... Number 30, Messi.
My cook.
Messi's cooking this season, bro. Like, I'm sorry to say, but sometimes we're hard on footballers, but this man left his hometown for the first time in his life in 30 years, bro. Family, all of that. That's crazy.
30, my cook. But they're still not winning Champions League.
No. Actually.
City is winning Champions League, bro.
I still think City need to sign a winger. Like, it looks so light.
City is winning Champions League.
And
the
left back.
City is winning Champions League.
Already.
City is winning Champions League. I don't think they'll win Prem, but I've never not predicted Liverpool win Champions League in the last 3 years. But I think City wins champs.
Well.
Unless Bayern has something to say about it.
Oh, Scamacca 10 goals. I'm a Scamacca fan, I'm sorry.
In Ketia, all comes 10 to 18 goals.
Nah, it's 15.
I literally said 10 to 18.
I'm telling you, he's going to be around, like, 10 is too small for him.
I think
that's how much I rate him, bro.
I think he's going to cook. He's really impressed
me in
preseason.
You know, Bolu, our friend, he still doesn't rate. He still thinks Arsenal comes fifth.
Because...
I think he's scared.
Yes, Bolu's heart is tender, and Arsenal broke it last season.
But Bolu said he's coming out this year. He said he's coming for every hater,
Arsenal broke his heart. Like, I'll never forget his face when he called Funtodam Monday evening after Newcastle. You could tell he has a tender heart. But Bolu, don't worry. We got you this year.
He still thinks you're coming first.
You don't worry about it.
Chelsea,
Teta has a plan.
You're down for.
Teta has a plan.
Real Madrid coming... Barcelona going to the Champions League semi-final.
Sure, no problem.
That's not
that team I pray on that downfall.
Bro,
like,
I'm
having
my hot takes.
I rejoiced them
now.
Going to Europa League last season.
Chelsea,
so much.
I'm praying on your downfall. Shout out to the women's.
Yeah, shout out to the Lionesses. Shout out to Mido. Shout out to Leah Williamson, my Arsenal girls. Big of your damn selves. You did your damn thing.
Oh, shout out to Alicia Russo, bro.
You did your damn thing.
Bro, but Mido, nah, I rate her. Because
Mido,
play
of the tournament,
her.
Golden Boot.
I literally watched her.
Then we now have Vivian Mido more. Arsenal is cooking something in
men
and women.
You guys should start watching WSL, bro. Like, I think we need to actually, like, try new things, honestly.
I do watch some games. I'm not even going to act like I'm consistent. But I keep up because I follow Arsenal women. Mm-hmm. I keep up.
But you know what's funny? You know, it's in my support WSL.
City.
Chelsea.
I mean, they signed Sam Kerr last season. Their coach is outstanding.
Bro, Emma Hayes is the reason why I support.
Their coach is outstanding.
Actually, you know my favorite player, Frank Kirby. She's on the Chelsea team, bro.
But I'm sorry, I'm not taking anybody over Midema.
Because of but that goal record is mad.
Midema is the goal, bro.
When I heard 100 goals, 110 games, I'm just like,
Midema is the goal, bro. Like, I'm sorry, I'm not taking. Arsenal scored 6 goals in the game. She had 5 goals, 1 assist. Sorry, 10 goals. She had 6 goals, 4 assists.
Viv.
But this was a couple years ago.
But yeah, It seems like it's going to be an exciting season as well. Yeah. Too. A lot of things are happening.
Big up the Lionesses. They did what the Lions couldn't do.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've come to the end of the
I'm actually still pissed about Ronaldo, but we're going to have to go
to the end of the first episode of the Highline Podcast for the year. Make sure to give us a follow on Instagram, Twitter, and all social media platforms. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to listen to the Highline Podcast. Strap in, buckle up, fasten your seatbelt.
We coming.
The ride is about to take off.
We coming.
I don't recommend you saying we coming because I don't like Fuad just because he's a Spurs fan. But
oh yeah, shout out Culture Combs. You saw Culture Combs. He made the news. Oh man.
Yeah.
Big up,
big
you,
up Culture Combs. But yeah. We coming.